This week on Call the Midwife, it seems like smallpox, but we learn it's leprosy, and then we have a take on tocophobia. All that, plus a popular picnic, coming up in just a sec.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another Call the Midwife After Show. This is Series Season 7, Episode 5. I'm John Comerford, sitting in the studio with Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello, hello.
All right, now we're done with all the alliteration from my opening.
Yeah, good job.
I just wanted to say popular picnic.
Popular picnic.
It's very popular picnic. Okay, so we were talking last week about we wanted to get teary-eyed. Tamara, did this one do it for you?
I did. I got tear stains right down here on page one.
First of all, I wanted to say the guest actors they had in this week, the person who played Eunice and Arde, I mean, I thought they did a fabulous job. Even Reggie was there.
Yeah, oh, Reggie's always so lovely.
Yeah, exactly. But I was just thrilled with some of the things they were doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was great. But let's talk about Eunice's storyline, Eunice Dobson and her husband. Apparently, she's having a little bit of a challenge being pregnant, and then has because of shall we talk about what happened the first time her first pregnancy?
Do you,
ladies, would you like to go?
Yeah,
discuss.
Yeah, you'd like us to talk about it.
The forceps, shall we?
The forceps.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I remember the first time I saw forceps in real life. Well, not like in real life, like on TV.
Right.
And I never thought they were that large.
Right.
And
yeah.
I just didn't know what to do with myself.
The clanging of the metal she talks about.
Well, yeah. And the language. I mean, the dialogue that was Helen Blakeman who decided to write up the ripping it out of
he
her.
He was ripping it out of me.
She was pleading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodness.
Okay.
And why wouldn't they stop? That's what she kept saying. She
yeah.
Like, why wouldn't they stop? Because they had to bring forth, and she was dying, like right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're huge. The forceps.
They're huge.
Yeah,
their arms. Like they're. Oh, jeez. Yeah. It's not supposed to be like that, man.
And doesn't it seem extremely barbaric?
Yes.
And that they're still used.
Because it's effective, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it works.
So. Yeah, it just mentally destroys.
All right, so, but we don't know that when we first meet her. So all we know is that Eunice, is just, basically saying that everything's fine. No, everything's good. I'm okay.
But she's a little standoffish with her husband.
Yes. Very standoffish.
And she's not happy.
He soon learns that she's not going to the clinic. There hasn't been any checkups. There hasn't been any of this. And it's Lucy's job to find out why.
What's
so she's the one
on?
That gets sent out there. And initially, she doesn't even want Lucy to touch her.
Mm-hmm. Blood pressure, like nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we don't even know. It's like, what?
What's wrong?
I don't know. I'm going, what could be this one? What could be going on here?
I was like,
is
she not pregnant anymore? And she's lied about it.
Yeah, I was like,
running
interesting.
Through all the
pot. Yeah. So the whole thing was fake?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
didn't even think about that.
No, we have a new malady this
week. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I thought, and also the way she was describing it was when Lucy finally gained her confidence and said, look, if you'll at least tell me, I can help you. And so finally she starts revealing it. And the way she was going through it was like PTSD. I mean,
yes.
She was reliving it. It was just like, whoa, I thought that was great. Very effective. And then she starts describing it. I'm going, okay, all right, that's good. I'm good. I don't need
my legs were strung up and he was ripping it out of me.
Yeah.
And then she freaks out. She completely freaks out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I really loved the compassion from the mother-in-law. I thought,
the mother-in-law was the best ever.
Yeah.
Just get on with it, girl. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe because sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Turn the page, honey.
Yeah, you just have to suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah, suck it up, buttercup. Exactly. Yeah.
She reminded me of Ursula.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Only because,
that's a good comparison.
Sure.
Yeah. Just the warm and fuzzies coming off of her like crazy.
Yeah. Warm and fuzzies like that little sweater.
Like the sweater she crocheted or knitted or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lovely one. It wasn't adorable.
That was
the one piece of fashion I noticed.
John finally notices fashion.
I did. So, and, of course, it ends up in the dustbin.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And that's the thing she's upset about the most.
Yes,
the mother-in-law. That I made this for Michael when he was born, and it didn't end up in the dustbin. But this one, so she's not at all.
Clearly out of touch. Yeah. Completely out of
no
touch.
No care whatsoever for Eunice.
Yeah. Even after the doctor's like, we got to be their supporter. This is a big deal. But she threw my sweater away.
Yeah. But what was great, though, you got to give Mr. Dobson credit,
agreed.
Right?
Yep.
That's it. You heard mom. You're out. I'm putting you on the
taking
train tomorrow.
To the train.
Exactly.
Station.
I was going, whoa, there you go. And we haven't seen that guy a lot
right.
in 1963.
Right,
and
that kind of guy.
Prior
yeah.
to that, yeah. It was,
right.
Because that's his mom, and usually there's this, you know, they're stuck in the middle, and he, yep. of course, is like, no, okay, good. You're
time
not helping.
Bye-bye.
Don't yeah. need you here right now. Thanks. Why don't you come after the bone, after the child is here?
Exactly.
I appreciated
so,
that.
Yeah.
And of course, then we learn everything, and then it's up to Lucy and Dr. Turner to try to let her know that, you know, this allay her concerns that this doesn't yeah. usually happen on the second birth. And, you know, I didn't think for a second, you know, because we'd seen the coming ups from last week. You knew that she was sitting in the, standing in the bathroom and not letting everybody in. But
yeah.
I loved when she said that. Lucy says, look, I'll be here to help you the whole way. And she's going, well, you better figure something else out because I'm not delivering this baby.
I love it, yeah. but I can't have it.
Yes. And what a great conflict in writing. You're always looking for the, you know, intent and obstacle. And here you go. This is happening. This is happening.
It's an insurmountable problem.
Exactly. How do you solve this problem, Maria?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So. Yes. Exactly.
Oh, and when she's in the bathroom and you can yeah. see her like clutching her legs together and like yes. trying to yeah. hold it in. I was just, girl.
And eyeballing the razor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice touch that they decided to put in there. And I was going, oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. But, you know, they had done a really good job for me of painting her in the corner and now in the bathroom.
Corner of the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. And not having a choice in her mind, of course,
yeah.
because of what she went through in the past.
Right.
And I'm going, it didn't even dawn on me. Is she that desperate? But they'd painted enough of that desperation that I was going, yeah, I'm buying that she just might want to do something to relieve this.
Think about it. You mm-hmm. are this woman who is, you know, 8.5, 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
She's known she's been pregnant for, let's say, 8 of those months,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, just to round yeah. numbers. The terror she must have had building in her every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to a certain degree, you can sort of put it off and go, oh, it's not there, it's not happening.
Yeah.
But then, you know.
As it gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Which is why you don't go to the clinic, because I don't want to be reminded I have this thing in me.
Right.
And then as soon as she feels like the pressure changes of birth and starting, like,
now
I can't,
happening.
Like.
I can't stop it.
Because she's pretty sure that she's going to die.
Right.
Her baby's
going
to die. Mm-hmm. The whole world is going to end.
Yeah.
And it's going to be unbearably painful.
Yeah, and then there's also, we didn't talk about this yet, but there's the 2 years where she didn't let her husband
yeah.
touch her.
Yes.
And then, of course, when
one
when
time.
It finally did, yeah, one time. And the sheath.
That's all it takes.
The sheath. Right. Ruptures or whatever what term they use.
Splits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then, so there's all that time where it's in her head.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, obviously, because that's the whole reason. No, we're not going to engage in that activity. Thank you very
right,
much.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get stuck in that position for
so
2 years. Exactly. Thank you, Tamara. And then, so you know that she's never left that moment.
Right.
It's
no.
been with her for those 2 years.
She's
and
on that
now
table
through
screaming.
This pregnancy.
Yeah.
Exactly. She's
been
still there.
On the table.
She talks
yeah.
about the film playing in her
yeah,
head.
She
yeah.
can't let that go. And I'm going, wow, this is, you know, it's just like any other PTSD. And, you know, of course, we learn later that they didn't put a name to that until, I don't know who
years
it was.
Later.
When,
decades.
Decades
later.
After 1963, mm-hmm. tocophobia. And I had never heard the term. Had you guys ever heard this
uh-uh.
term?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I've heard of people, and they even talked about it with Phyllis and Valerie, that, you know, everybody's
has the fear,
moments of doubt, like, oh,
yeah.
I can't do this, but it's usually during the actual labor, not mm-hmm. before. And I've never heard of it. I just thought that was fascinating.
Yeah. I've never heard of it, but I have diagnosed myself. After watching this, never.
She didn't even know to need to go to WebMD. No,
nope.
She just watched Call the Midwife.
Yes,
no, I've got that.
I've got
that tocophobia.
Sure.
Just another public service announcement
I can
provided.
Love it, but I can't have it.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, goodness. All right, but I guess, you know, he can't, Mr. Dobson can't break down the door and said maybe not. You know, she's got the bolt and everything, which I thought was interesting, really. They got it done
in the bathroom.
Yeah, I was like, okay, right, that was convenient.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Lucy gets called and she decides she's going to try to talk her out of that room. And again, I'm going, I'm sure this is why they hired Lucy, but I'm buying all this compassion that's oozing out of her and just, you know, I'm listening to her and I'm going,
It's working.
I'd open the door.
Yeah.
I'd open the door.
Well, I mean, earlier on, one of their first conversations was, tell me exactly how you're feeling, right?
Yeah.
Tell me how you're really feeling.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, gave Mrs. Dobson the opportunity to really, like,
listen,
kind of come through and express what exactly is going on. You know. And so then
she comes
out of the bathroom.
Because you know she. You, I didn't realize that you just said that. I mean, it's clearly obvious from the episode, but I just really put it together. She's not talked to anybody about this for 3 years.
And they've all dismissed whatever discomfort she's had, obviously, the whole thing.
I mean, so. In one of the first lines we hear from her is that, she, you know, he's talking about what Mr. Dobson's asking her a question and stuff, and she says, well, with Michael, the first child, I didn't know what was ahead. Now I do.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm just going, whoa.
And I love, because that speaks to, because they're always saying how after the first one, you forget the pain, and you want the second one. And so because that's always like sort of the monk that goes around. And obviously that's not the case for everybody. This was the situation.
Of course, not every case uses the big metal forceps either. So.
All the love in the world didn't make that go away.
That's right. Mm. So Lucy finally gets her out. And then I thought it was great that Sheila, so we had... Lucy was coaching, and Sheila was catching, which I thought was nice.
And the dudes in the other room.
In the other room, exactly.
Because, you know, this is ladies' business.
It was good to see Sheila on the business end, too.
It's been a while. She's usually in the office, like, filling out cards and stuff.
It was great. I'm glad she was there. That was terrific. Because, you know, and we also made the point because, you know, Trixie had left.
Yes.
They were down a person.
Right.
Midwife, so boom.
Pop one in.
Worked out nicely.
Comes off the bench.
Yep.
Saves one for the team.
Mm-hmm. You can do this. You can breathe this baby out.
Which I thought was very interesting. The terminology is breathe this baby because it's all about inspiration, spirit, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's all about the breath and everything. That was kind of cool.
Oof.
Yeah. Good birth to her. And I have to say, the look of relief when that child was born on Eunice's face was, for me, it was priceless. Yep. The way she summoned that and presented that, it was like, wow.
Because it was instant, the change. Yeah, it was before and after.
Amazing. What a great moment for her. And then a secondary moment when she saw the child, and instantly.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's where the pain went away.
The pain went away.
Yeah, and it was all about the love.
It was
and
healing.
She says, I did it.
Yeah.
Call the Midwife, the official Call the Midwife Twitter tweets that little clip.
Oh, really?
Of her moment of relief. So if you guys want to watch it again, you can see it on
great.
Twitter.
Yeah, it's just a great moment. Great job that Eunice
brilliant.
Did on that.
Yeah,
she was. She was really good.
I did it, and I'm so proud of you. That was when I was like, that's what did it for me. Yep. Yep. Oh.
I finally released all my muscles. And just relaxed.
Exactly.
Because I've been clinched the entire time.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, there is a clinch factor on that one.
Yeah. It was rough. Mm-hmm. Poor girl. Mm-hmm.
So you guys went through your own labor on this one?
Yes, because you're standing there. But that's why she embodied it so well physically. Not just, I mean, obviously emotionally in her eyes and all of that, but like physically just the tension of trying to hold on to something you have zero control over because it's going to come whether you want it or not.
Yeah, because Mother Nature's taking over anyway. You can either get on the ride or not. But. Yeah. One way's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So the baby's born, and that's it for that story.
Baby girl.
The baby girl, absolutely. Yeah. So, and that's, and then we get the little epilogue that they didn't have.
She
any
have
other
no
children.
More kids.
That's it. I'm tapping out.
Two and
I'm
out.
She went to that clinic and got those birth control pills.
Made sure that sheath did not break again.
No more sheaths involved.
So, but they had their family now.
Yeah.
So that was nice. That was nice. And I have to say, I'm glad that Mr. Dobson stepped up to the plate with the mom, and he was there the whole, you know. And I just thought it was a very well crafted storyline. I liked that one.
I also liked their apartment.
Yes.
That was
and
nice.
They had a phone.
Yeah, we haven't seen this side of Poplar.
Because the first thing I thought when he's like banging on the door is like, oh my God, he's got to leave her and go call somebody because they always have to leave to go make a call. And he walks to the desk.
But you know,
he had a phone.
Yeah,
he had a phone.
The apartment was well appointed and they had, they had at least two bedrooms.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
kid
the phone,
had toys.
And he had a nice suit and tie and everything. It's like,
new furniture.
Where in Poplar is this? I'm not familiar.
This was the come up. These were the new buildings.
Moving on up.
New money.
Exactly. New money. Funny and Poplar.
Yeah.
That was nice. That was good.
Was so
nice
happy.
Change there.
Yes.
Now, on the flip side of that, let's move on to when we're not in the best of places to live.
Poor Arde.
Babayaro. Who we first find him, he's like a stowaway of some sort on the docks. And
except that he was a sailor.
Yeah, he was a sailor, but it looked like he was a stowaway. Yeah. He was amongst all the laden goods or whatever it was. Clearly something wrong with him, and they broomed him out. Exactly. Yeah. Where's the pitchfork? I was just waiting for that. It's like, wow, yeah.
Like, geez, you couldn't just be like, hey, dude, you got to get off.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you can't be here.
Yeah. But, treat him like he's a bug.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
a rat.
And, again, that was good because it puts us in, like, would we do that? Because back then, and, even Phyllis makes the point later on, the big scare they had last year, whatever.
Had a scare,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm going, yeah, people would freak out. They do it now.
Yeah, I'd freak out now.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Somebody said smallpox is roaming down North Hollywood.
Yeah, is it what?
No. Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-mm.
I would have given him the bread, though. I probably would have just thrown it. Maybe it was like a football. It was just here, but I would have.
But he likes that the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, wait.
But of course he can because he's the innocent. So,
yeah.
But anyway, let's get on to it. So he obviously has to find another place to stay. He tries to find, he's asking to bring in the street. You know, where's the Siemens mission or whatever, the Siemens rest, wherever he's looking for. And nobody. I like the way they shot that, too, because we didn't see his face. We just saw everybody's reaction to it. And that was nice. It's like, okay, yeah, and everybody's no. They can't even direct them. They can't even point.
No, they can't shout and go that way.
Yeah, that way. Go.
There, fast.
Because wouldn't that be the way you go? No, go in the other direction.
Yeah, exactly. Not this way, that way.
But they don't have nothing to do with it.
Nope.
You said semen.
Grow up, Tamara.
No, not gonna. It makes me laugh.
Yeah, grown up.
Surrounded by immaturity. So,
right.
So, I know.
Because I'm pretty sure you said that joke.
Yeah, I know. He does find his way to the mission.
Yes.
Which I thought, and again, I know we've been there before in other episodes, but I didn't really put it together. There's got to be a place for seamen to stay there because they don't have homes and everything. They don't have hotels.
Sailors.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Shoreman, whatever.
Isn't that where the television was?
Television,
Yeah. So, but it was. I don't remember being inside one of the rooms and what. And it just
I don't think so.
Just didn't imagine what it would have been like. But it looked like a hostel.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and then of course we have the drunken sailor the drunken sailor. It's all tatted out and everything. I said, that's a sailor.
It works,
why not? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I bought it.
He drops in bed, falling there, and he's just holding onto his crucifix and praying.
Yeah, and I thought, again, part of just his manner, his way, the actor was just doing a fabulous job. I was just buying it. I didn't know anything about it, but I knew that I bought completely that this was important. And it wasn't just because he's in a bad state. It seemed like this was a parcel to him.
Soul. Yeah.
And I bought that completely from the get-go. I mean, this guy really embodied that, so I thought that was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when the drunk guy comes back in, he's finally... It's like, why are you messing with... Leave the guy alone. Really? It's like,
What's he doing?
But he's a drunk guy, so... Yeah.
Drunk and belligerent.
Yeah, and we have to get him out of there so that Reggie can find him. So he gets him out, and then... where can he go? So he goes underground, literally underground.
Literally underground, right.
So, and that's where Reggie sees him through the grates and everything like that.
Sidebar, I've always wondered what those areas look like, because you see them from the street
level, the
grates and things like that. I've always wondered what it looks like underneath.
Really,
and so that was
down there.
Well, that's actually the areas for goods and holds and stuff and for laden stuff. And
to get things from the street level down.
Yeah, exactly. So,
it's just interesting.
Yeah, and Reggie's ostensibly off to take bread to Fred. And then that's when he sees him. And then, again, because of his innocence and curiosity, he goes downstairs. And I'm going, oh. And it would be, and I'm going, Reggie, please, wait. You know, because all we know is we think he's got smallpox. Yeah. Everybody thinks he's got smallpox. So, and I'm going, wait, don't go inside.
Then you're like, whoo. He listened to him and followed instruction. Don't touch me.
And kudos to that guy because he, in his mind, he doesn't want to spread it all.
He doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Exactly. He's no interest. In that.
Yeah.
So, and as desperate as he is, as hungry as he is, he doesn't want this to befall anybody else. So, and Reggie thankfully doesn't. And so I did bring the siren leaf because he's like, no, don't mess with Reggie.
No.
You can mess with anybody. Just don't mess with Reggie.
Give him smallpox. Come on.
Exactly. So we don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives him the bread. And then the other thing was when he said, I need help, but it has to be a secret. And I'm going, you can't give a secret. Don't put that pressure on Reggie.
Yes.
And why doesn't he just say, go get a doctor?
That's what I just was like, why? why?
But, you know, he doesn't have presence. Maybe he's just so sick. He's ill. He's not thinking right.
Well,
you
know, I know he said at some point they'll send me or whatever. He didn't want to get sent away, I guess.
Yeah, he says that to Phyllis.
He was worried that he was going to be shipped. But they would put him in, give him medicine or something first.
Right. And we can also infer because he was broomed out of the hole the first time and then kicked out of the sailor's quarters the next time that he was afraid to be with anybody. Anything. And the That's only true. Person he could see that wouldn't do harm him is Reggie. So maybe he wasn't ready to take the step of, hey, get me some help. But he was enough to say he needed help. And I'm just going, I thought, just say you need a doctor. Go get a doctor.
Go tell the doctor.
Well, he said, I mean, this is what he said. You know, don't come near me. You're a good man, but please, you must go from me now. They will chase you.
Yeah.
To which Reggie replies, I've been chased.
Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
I know. Wasn't that brutal?
Daniel Lurie is the actor, by the way, who plays Reggie. We've talked about him before, and he's so wonderful. But that, and I wanted to talk about that moment where Reggie's standing sort of in the light in the hallway, and he's looking into our day, and you know the look on his face. He cocks his head a little bit, and his face changes, and it was an incredibly beautiful moment of. Oh, guess what? Kindness and compassion. The things I love about the show.
And I think he recognized being the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So. I just thought that was an incredibly beautiful moment from Daniel Lurie. Yeah. He's so good, and I love him in the show, and so I just wanted to say that. I've been chased. He knows what that is.
Even Arday's face, you know, of course, he had all the pox or whatever it was we learned later. Yeah. But just in his eyes and everything, I'm just going, and I thought, again, the way they shot it, because they had Reggie standing and him in the lower position and everything and all that other stuff.
And the lightness and the dark.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I just thought, okay, very well put together cinematically. And, I mean, and it already has all that imbued with it. And so it's like, and then his sense, his timing and his language and the way he was saying, it's not safe and they'll chase you too, and he's more concerned about him even than the state he's in. So you know, again, that grasping of the cross and the prayers that go, that's just part and parcel. He's lived that life. So good stuff. So of course when he doesn't come home with the cake, Violet all of a sudden is like, well, wait a minute,
second.
What's up?
Dundee cake.
The Dundee cake. Thank you. Exactly. The Dundee, which I don't know what a Dundee cake is, but it looked like it had almonds
sure
on it.
Pretty sure secret agents telling us any second now.
Exactly. No. That would be nice to know.
It has almonds in it, obviously.
Almonds, and it looked
and
tasty.
Something sweet.
Arday liked it. Then again, I think at that moment, he would have liked anything.
He was hungry.
But because the Dundee cake doesn't come home with Reggie, Violet's,
hackles are up.
That's it. Something's up. Somebody's taking advantage of Reggie. No. And then there's a secret involved. Like, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
So, and then, of course, they go to Doc Turner. And I don't know why, because they just assumed that he bumped into the guy.
Well, they'd heard.
They were worried about this.
You know, word was out in town that there was a man with smallpox around.
So they just make the assumption that he may have come in contact. But anyway, so they take him to Doc Turner, and Doc Turner finds nothing.
He's fine.
Yeah, everything is fine. And they still can't get the secret out of him. You know, again, go Reggie. That's right. Yeah,
there
you
go.
He may see it. He's a friend.
Until
Phyllis
cracks him.
Yeah, Phyllis. She sees him.
Because they're old
and they
chums.
Have. Well, they are old chums. They've been with the Boy Scouts or whatever the term is.
The Cubs.
Yeah, is that what they
are? Cubs,
Cubs,
Cubs.
Cubs? Cubs? I don't know what the term was. The Scouts and stuff. And she gets him to crack.
Well, he whispered it, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah,
right. Ooh, it's got currants, sultanas, also known as golden raisins in America, and almonds in it. The Dundee cake. Sometimes fruit peel may be added to it.
Ooh.
It's Scottish.
Clearly,
which we probably
Dundee.
Mm-hmm. And mass produced by the marmalade company called Keeler's. Keeler's Marmalade.
Okay. Oh, well, there you have it.
Sounds delicious.
We're going to find some.
Learn something
get
new.
Get some shipped to us.
Yeah. Maybe somebody could send us some.
I know.
Somebody.
I
hear anybody.
I hear it's really tasty of leprosy.
We'll give you the AfterBuzz address if you want.
Send us a cake.
So since Phyllis finds out that he's underground and she knows where to go, she goes and finds him. And again, I thought this was done very well.
Oh, yeah.
Two things I want to say about Phyllis. The way she handled this was great, the actor. And then the way I'll talk about that. But yep. Just one other thing I'll say about what she did to this week in this episode that we'll get to later. But so she goes downstairs and she finds him, mm-hmm. and this looks like he's on his deathbed. He looks like he's barely breathing.
Yeah,
he wasn't responsive.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I was I was thinking about that. Obviously, we saw the manifestation of these marks on his face.
Yeah, whatever they were.
But what else is going on? First of all, he's also not eating much, all it was sort of sugar essentially. And, so there can't be any sugar, a lot of fortification in there.
Well, no, because tea's fortified. So I imagine this cake.
With the sugar.
With the sugar.
It's fortified. Fortified sugar. For sure.
But yeah, I mean, the other thing that they were checking for Reggie for when he was in the hospital was, did he have a fever?
Yeah.
So if nothing else, we know that, fever was going to be
expected. Looked like he was feverish. Yeah. He looked like he had some sort of...
I mean, he's been sleeping outside and God knows where else.
Exactly.
So,
and he looked in really bad shape, and not just because of the face.
And
eyes are barely open. Yeah.
By the way, apparently a Dundee cake is the Queen's favorite cake.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well,
allegedly. Thank you
to
our researchers. More than one. We had more than one. Yeah. Thank you.
Where are we? Oh, so as Fiddles finds him, and then she's so good with him, the way she's talking about how you might need some help, and so she, I don't know what she sees, but she either clearly knows that this isn't small, because even from the get-go, she's the one that says, I don't think that's
what small.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess they have
right
a clear
away.
Idea what the small pots are.
Yeah, but what was also nice is that he was now willing to accept the help, and whereas before he didn't want anybody to come near him, whatever it was, and maybe it was because she was a nurse, who knows, but she's got him stowed away again in her car.
Locked away in her car with her
travel blanket
over.
So,
and thankfully we learned that he doesn't have smallpox, but he's been brought to Nonata's house, and this was great too, because when they were bringing him down the hall, and again, just to see him,
the nuns,
and the light,
praying in the hallway,
and now he sees faces that aren't scared of him. He's, and they're looking at him, and they're,
there's just the love that's wrapped around everything that is Nonata's house.
Yes, everything juxtaposed there. And I thought the picture of Monica Joan in the chapel, and just in her devotional, whatever she's doing, again, obviously that spoke to him in some fashion, because he says, my prayers have been
answered.
Because he saw himself in her is what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Backing up just a little bit. Yeah. Don't send me home because I have no home to go to.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I forgot that. Yeah.
And then she takes him to Nonatus, where he not only is not cast out, but it's incredibly homey.
Don't take me home. That one was a killer.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a home to go to. But that turns out, I liked the parallel, because we saw Monica Joan in the chapel, and later on we see him doing his devotional in the chapel, and the way she comes up to him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And you have been cast out because of your infirmity, and he says he was cast out before that. And
my lot was to walk alone, he was saying.
Yeah, and you're just going, oh, my God, because of oil, he's cast out of his home, and... Cast adrift is what he said it, metaphorically and literally.
And then Monica Joan says, none of us is cast adrift in our faith.
And our cross can be our anchor.
Are you okay? You guys talk?
That was a lie.
Question, John, would you try to say no to Nurse Crane?
Would I say no to Nurse Crane?
You gotta go with her.
Oh, yeah, I gotta go with her. Yeah, I can't say no to her.
Yeah, he can't say no.
Absolutely.
I would try. I'd probably try.
You would try to resist.
Get away from me. Yeah, exactly.
You would resist.
I would have a real hard time saying no to Julian. I know that because I've our nuns who live near us.
You can't say no.
I can't. They always need something taken care of. So, yeah, sure, I'll be right there.
Anything you want.
Yeah, whatever you need. They're 97, and it's whatever you need, I'll be there. And they know it too.
Yeah, they do.
They know it.
John.
Yeah.
We're special prayers for you.
Yeah, thanks.
And we need a light bulb.
I'll be right there. I got nothing with that.
No resistance.
It's futile.
Not at all.
You can't say no to the Lord.
Exactly. So, but the way she was with him, with Arde, was just incredibly heartwarming.
Yeah. Even when she was dressing his wounds in the wherever that
attending
is,
to him.
And then Julian comes in and says, "You can eat.
You can have meals with us.
Yeah. We have a room here." And I like the fact again. He's just because he thinks that he deserves to walk alone. Yeah. He doesn't even think he deserves to be there.
Be there. be there, eat with them.
And she says, no, we have an empty room. You'll stay here and you can eat with us. And he's like, and that's too much for him.
He's like, I can go back under the street.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
I'll go back where I came from. I'll just go under the street. Yeah. I can wait there for a few more days.
He's like Job, for crying out loud, you know? So, all right. But they find a spot for him. And, oh, and then the Monica Joan, when they're talking about it at breakfast, and they say that they found a spot for him. And she's all, wait, he has to go?
I know.
I finally got a friend.
Oh, I know.
She and Reggie, exactly. And Arde wants him to come to the. I mean, Reggie wants him to come to the picnic and the whole thing. And it's like, you know, he's so. He's his friend, and you know the devotional. Yeah,
they had found each other.
So sweet,
especially after last week with Monica Joan. You're like, yay, she's got somebody to bond with and feel good about.
But the way they wrapped that up was so nicely for them to have that moment, so that she, because you know, he gives, you know, she, as they're leaving, she's saying goodbye. She gives him her Bible, and he gives the cross and says the whole thing about, you know, what is it? What is his line?
Your prayers have sent me on a firm path, set me on a firm path to wellness. May it be the same blessing for you.
Yeah, and you know, that's what gives, you know, we haven't seen it yet, but we assume that that's what's going to give her the strength to go under the knife, so to speak.
Yes.
And now, because they set up earlier in the show that she received the letter,
confirmation of her surgery. Yes.
And she was still
nervous and stressed. And
we hope that this interlude with Arde has given her the strength and the faith.
Given her the peace.
Exactly.
To move forward. Yeah.
And we can infer that that's what's going to happen. That was great.
It was beautiful.
Wasn't it beautiful? Yeah. It was wonderfully done.
Yeah. It's like love really does heal everything.
Yeah. All right, but we have to talk about, what was the one thing that Dr. Turner says? Kindness. He says it to Reggie.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason why Reggie
is not going to get in trouble.
Yeah, because he's worried. He didn't tell the secret, but he's worried. And Dr. Turner's examining him. I'm in trouble. And Dr. Turner's, you were being kind. And the line is, what is it?
You wrote it down because I didn't. Yeah, it's something like, nobody gets punished for kindness. Right?
Yeah, and I went, what?
All the time.
Excuse me.
Have you watched Call the Midwife, Dr. Turner?
Kindness gets slapped down every day.
No good deed. Do you know the
term? Hello.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But in his world, you know, it's like, no, you, I mean, in the long term, I'm sure. Yeah. But yeah, I was going, I've been pegged a lot doing something kind. I've paid a price.
We all have.
But it worked anyway. I mean, it worked with Reggie, because obviously you don't want Reggie not doing kind things. So, but anyway, I just thought that was hysterical, because I went, oh, yes, sir. Did you guys feel that at all? You felt that?
I didn't think that.
Yeah, it's really... Really sweet of you to think that.
Really sweet of you.
Yeah.
Wish it were the case. Yeah. No, but side note, I loved Reggie when he was right before he tells Phyllis where he is.
I
don't have the line, but she came in and she said, I have one thing to say to you. And he was like, no, babe, that's two.
Yeah. There's one thing you and I don't like, it's fessing and fretting or something like that.
Yeah,
says, that's two.
That's two. Yeah, it's Smarty Pants.
Sharp. Look at this.
I loved it.
Boom, boom. Yeah, okay. Set it up. You hit it out. Yeah. Nice. Thank you, Reggie.
Yep.
Good job. Go, Reggie.
All right. So since we're on the Reggie and the picnic, Phyllis gets pegged to find money for the picnic.
No. Violet.
What did I say? Phyllis? Okay. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me. Yeah. Violet. Yeah. Because she's got all these old files and records
because
that she
has
to
so
go through.
Good at arranging the beauty pageant and tracking down where the money was for this former alderman who's passed out.
Nine and six. For the picnic. And I went, whoa, we're going to have a rip-roaring picnic.
It's going to be a picnic.
Yeah, and because she's so good at finding the money, now they put her in charge.
Yeah,
of it, so
again, no good deed.
Exactly.
Right there. Boom.
That's right.
So, and of course, she enlists Fred, and they're off, and they all the people, and now we're getting all these donations or whatever.
List as long as her arm.
Exactly.
Things happening.
And I look at Violet, and I just think she's so good at getting, because remember she got Lucy involved,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I made her a list.
People in. Yep.
Yeah. Reggie, I have a list as long as my arm.
My arm, exactly.
This is how good she is. She's good at getting everybody else involved and enrolling them. Yeah.
She had a map.
Yeah,
way
I
to go.
Was going to say, exactly. I love when she had the war map. Like, okay, you're in this section. You're in this section. You're here. Come back to HQ. It's a picnic.
We'll set up base camp. We'll make our final assault.
HQ.
Yeah. let's do some recon.
It was great.
And then, of course, later on, we get everything set up. The poster's going up and everything. Yeah. We get them on the bus, and they've got the two buckets.
Two buckets. Got the chum bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So to speak.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
And the sawdust bucket.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. So, yeah.
And Fred with his odds are.
Yeah.
Couple of things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Be ready. One, oh, I'm two. Ready. Because, why? Because she's in charge of the Cub Scouts.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And one of the Cub Scouts, always prepared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even with a catapult. Is that what they called those? We call them slingshots. Is it called a catapult?
Yeah,
is that what
I think
it was?
So.
Okay. Yeah. Slingshots, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, and they go, they take off, and then who, you know, because earlier in the episode, we have Trixie.
Oh,
leaving.
Yeah, Trixie's leaving. She's taking a flight to Portofino.
Which is a whole, you know, they use that as their bookends, talking about flight. And, you know, yeah. There are many reasons to take flight. And sometimes it takes us to a destination. Sometimes we're hiding. So, you know, that's the thing. And Trixie's not really hiding. She's actually going to find herself again to find her true sense so that she can overcome her issues with alcohol, etc. And then on her way out, she sees
Christopher.
There you go, Tamara. What did you think?
He looked very handsome today.
I know, right? In his little car, he was.
Yeah, he looked really. He looked
like more
extra
than normal.
Handsome.
Yeah,
right?
I agreed.
Yes!
I was like, I never thought he was that. Oh, okay.
That's exactly what I said.
That's exactly what I said.
Oh my gosh, we are so
simpatico. I can't believe you.
It was that energy he was setting off for loving her, so wanting her to be better and taken care of.
Mm-hmm. And he probably had a new haircut or something.
Ooh,
yeah.
He looks good.
He looks really
good. I don't know
what it was.
He always has a suit. Like, he's always dressed and he's in his car, and I don't know, but it was, I don't know.
He looked extra good.
They lit him real nice.
Yeah, something.
Maybe we're both ovulating or something. I don't know.
That's it.
Actually, that makes much more sense.
You're probably in sync. Yeah. You spend so much time together and getting that sound. Yep.
Oh, those darn hormones.
Somebody better call the midwife.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right.
So, it is amazing what a haircut can do.
He did look good. All right. So,
he looks great.
And
she looks great also.
She did.
Yes.
And she's going to be there for months. She's going to Portofino. And Courtney, you're going to.
I'll go to rehab in Portofino.
Sure.
Like, and she's only staying while it's warm. She's not. Yeah, she didn't bring those cashmere sweaters. So I was like, okay.
And apparently her godmother is a clothes horse like she is.
Yes. Four outfits a day.
Did she say the accessories too?
With accessories.
Yeah, accessories, yeah. Four outfits a day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
nice. So,
yeah.
Do not want to.
So, but she wasn't sure about how long she was going to stay. Do you want to share with the rest of
us? We got an agreement with a tweet about, totally agree about Christopher, and she's not ovulating.
There you go.
So, okay. So we have consensus.
So two out of three
good observations
are ovulating and still thinking. Okay.
All right.
So she's not sure. She's not. I don't know if she was being cagey or she's just not sure how long she's going to be because maybe she just doesn't know how long this is going to take.
Yeah, I don't know that you can put a time frame.
Well, these days rehab is a certain
it's
amount of time.
30 days. Exactly. Yeah. If you can last, then
we've got it figured out now.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, when you're coming back, let me know and I'll collect you.
And he'll come together.
Friend.
As a friend.
He agreed to ask friends after she said, because he's still thinking, no, I'm about to make you my woman. Like, I don't know how.
So that's what he'll be thinking about for the next couple of months.
How can I change her mind? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you think that's going to happen? Do you think that when she gets back there, do you think they'll work this out? Or
I don't know.
The way they let it go, I don't really see how that
I'm hoping that it's done. I'm hoping that I want her Trixie to find something that there isn't an entanglement. That she finds something that...
You want her to find a new man.
Yes.
But that wouldn't happen until next season.
Yeah, so what? That's okay.
I don't know. I don't think it would be honest if they got back together. Like, I feel like it would be to make us happy.
Yeah.
Not because it makes sense with the story.
But I love the
idea.
I like
knowing Helen George is very happy, you know, in her life.
Yeah, okay.
With her new baby and her handsome husband.
That's helpful.
Or partner, rather. I don't know that they're married.
Okay.
I don't know. I just, you know, as far as, I know we're a little bit getting into predictions, but, you know, Trixie not living at Nanatus and having the whole chummy kind of life, that's a big shift at you know the house, and so I'm not sure I could get behind that just from the standpoint of how it changes the community.
Well, I'm not saying that she's gonna move out. She's just going to find a new guy.
Just find a new guy.
I'm not saying
have
I'm
a
gonna,
new love interest.
Yeah, have love. New, they weren't necessarily going to get married. And
so you just want her to hook up?
No.
John,
she'll date
doing?
Another guy.
She's a good girl.
Sure. Yeah, we learned that. She's not so nice, but I'm just saying next season.
Maybe next season.
She'll find another guy. They'll date for a while. They don't have to get married right away. They could take have a long courtship. So we could throw away
Chris after he's looking all good and whatnot.
Well, yeah, but we've already set him up. He's got the family. He's got the daughter. I mean,
he doesn't want her.
Ex-wife.
They're not back together.
Ex-wife. Not even estranged wife. Ex-wife.
Yeah.
Kind of a prediction from the UK right now. Maybe she'll bring a man back with her. Ooh, from
no,
Italy.
Girl.
Italian.
No. You do not bring somebody back from rehab.
No.
All bad.
That is so true.
That's all bad.
I don't know that they were suggesting rehab, but from Italy.
From
Portofino.
When she finishes rehab, she goes down to Nice.
There's like a rule.
You're not supposed to mess with people at the end of the summer. She goes to Nice. She's lying on the beach. She finds the gelato man.
No. You're a nurse. You get the gelato man.
Wow.
All right.
Well, it is Portofino. It's warm at that time of year.
Okay, all right.
So this is interesting. All right, but okay. So the other thing I wanted to mention about Phyllis is when they're saying goodbye, she and Valerie coming out to say goodbye.
Right. So because Trixie snuck out.
She snuck out, left a load of laundry
in the corner.
Snuck out. She's in the car. She's ready to leave, and Phyllis and Valerie come running out and stuff. They say, "Oh, we have to
in their curlers.
Curlers, in their clothes." I thought it was great. That was for me.
Loved it.
Now, that fashion I was aware of, because that was awesome.
I caught that.
Absolutely. I love that. I'm glad they were in their curners and their robes. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that says so much. I'm willing to go out in public because I want to say goodbye to you. I don't want you to leave without saying goodbye. I'm going, that's great.
Yes. Yeah.
That was fabulous. And then when they were saying goodbye and the look on Phyllis's face when she's waving.
She drove off. And the last look at Val and Phyllis.
There was
the
all this.
Sigh.
Oh, my God. It was beautiful. It was wonderful because you could see all the sadness and the.
The whole round, is she going to be okay? Will she actually come back?
All that uncertainty.
So
yeah, I thought that was great. And, you know, it's just a small little moment.
Yeah.
But she carried the entire moment with that look. I thought it was great.
Phyllis's face is what I have in my
note. It was terrific. Mm-hmm. And the last thing we need to talk about is Barbara. So Barbara and Tom
are back.
They're back.
They just popped up.
That's right. And just as everything could, I thought it was great. Nobody at the end. Hello. Buzz. Nobody answering. Did.
But you didn't want to tell anybody.
That's right. You didn't want to make a big thing.
Got what you wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, of course... who was it that came out?
Winifred.
Thank you. Yeah, she comes out. And she's, you know, but our night, so you gotta go.
Bye-bye.
They're over there.
Yeah, exactly. Water broke, gotta go.
Yeah. Side note, so do they just not have church when he's gone?
No, they did. Didn't they have somebody else? They just never met
it's
him.
It's like suddenly available now. Because didn't they say something about it's all musty in the home or whatever
they
were living in?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I was like, you just don't get church while they go home.
No, I'm sure they had somebody else. We just didn't learn of this person. I mean, they lived at a different place. They were on some manse somewhere.
I was just curious.
Yeah,
exactly.
They went off to the next town.
Yeah, exactly. They got shipped to Birmingham.
Next borough over.
They just traded.
Switch.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Got it.
So they make it to the picnic, and so we did have some fun there. So it was nice to see
people peeing in the bushes.
Welcome back, because you know they also set up. We're one down, and then not anymore.
Not anymore.
We're back for good.
We're whole again.
Yes. Yeah, their mission is accomplished in Birmingham. I wonder what happened in Birmingham that they got it done
mission?
So quickly. So because we're months later, because last time we started that season
cold.
It was very cold. The worst cold spell, absolutely. And then this is months later.
We're drinking hot tea.
That's right.
It's hot.
Exactly. Yeah. And or if you have Lucy's idea, you can have coffee with salt. Which sounds.
That sounds awful.
I'm going to try that as soon as we get done.
Yeah, because you love coffee so much to begin with. Salt is an anti-bitter agent. So maybe that was the thinking behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Salty coffee. I'm sure it's not a lot of salt in it.
Yeah. Well, she says a dash.
A dash. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well.
But I guess if you're in Jamaica and it's hot, you'll try.
It'll
anything.
Work.
Do whatever you got to do.
Yeah. So it's good to see Barb back. We haven't got this.
Yes, of course. Of course. And it's nice to see Tom always.
Yeah. It's kind of like, why did you even leave? Like, I don't know. It just was.
They've gone a couple episodes.
Gotta go. Yeah, bye. Come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It did seem a little odd, but you know.
But they're back. So then, we'll see what they do with them.
Next week, the coming ups, we're interesting.
She should be pregnant soon.
That's right. I wasn't paying attention. I don't really remember.
Phyllis has caught in a fire.
Oh, that's right. There's a fire.
And the building's falling around her.
Yes.
And the fireman did not look like he was in a hurry.
No. Just like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah. She's like, my friend is in the...
What? Okay. Cup of tea?
All right.
What?
Yeah. We'll leave you to it then.
You better not hurt Phyllis.
Yeah, leave you to it then. Yeah.
Do not hurt Phyllis.
All right. Any last words about the show before we talk about Tamara stuff?
No.
I think
what do we call this? This isn't. Really,
it's not exactly news or gossip.
It's just something you want to share.
It's kind of news. It's a news story. I tweeted out the link for this. It's from the Radio Times, and it's 63 things you don't know about Call the Midwife. 63.
Wow.
It's a lot more than five. Usually those lists are like five.
Yeah.
And we. The big fans of Call the Midwife know most of these. Mm. But there were a couple that really caught my eye, and at least one I wanted to share with you, Courtney. Number six, the nuns are based on the Sisters of the Anglican Community of St. John the Divine. Mm-hmm. And the community is still active. And before she died, Jennifer Wirth, who wrote the memoir for which she set up a trust for the order so that they receive an income from the profits of the book and the show.
Wow, look at that.
That's so great.
Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing.
I love that.
That's like in keeping with the show.
It kind of is.
That's so ridiculous.
Wow. That's awesome.
Number 14, it takes around 7 hours to film a birth.
Wow.
Real infants can only be used for 15 minutes at a time. Sure. And so they've got thousands of real babies that have been through the show.
Yeah, not in one birth, but through the show.
through the course of the show. So
thousands of babies in 7 hours? What?
But, yeah, I mean, in 15-minute increments, 7 hours.
Yeah, it's not a lot of time.
It takes a long time.
That's rough.
Because just setting things up.
That's tedious.
Yeah.
And then one that I found most interesting. Most of the show's guest female characters have highlights in their hair because that is the current, you know, look. And they usually are only on for one or two episodes. And so the team has to take them to a salon in real life and get their color flattened out, basically. Okay, get a color wash.
So there's no highlights.
So that they don't have highlights while they're shooting the show. Because they they mostly use people's natural hair on the show. Mm-hmm. And then they have to pay to get the highlights put back in the shooting. This is the part I find most interesting. This accounts for the largest part of the hair and makeup budget on the show of Call the Midwife. Is de-highlighting and re-highlighting guest stars
of the show.
Sure enough.
Yeah. That's the bulk of the budget.
That's the bulk of the hair.
So what does that say
budget
for the rest of the hair and makeup that they're doing? All those women. Yeah, it's like, oh my God.
I just thought
that
was
very
hilarious.
Yeah, it is hysterical. Yeah.
And when I mentioned this to my sister the other day, she's like, yeah, it's expensive.
It's expensive, yeah. That's why I'm surprised they don't just use wigs.
I know.
Because I feel like wigs would be way cheaper.
It's because they're really sticklers. Oh. Heidi Thomas is really a stickler for the look of the show. Mm-hmm. And they were saying...
Tell them that when you told me about the food. Remember?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So the regular set dresser was not available for one episode. Yeah. And
one scene. Even.
So,
whatever. Go ahead.
So there was a dinner scene involved, and the set dresser put broccoli on the table for the dinner scene. And people didn't eat broccoli in 1959, when this particular episode came out. And so they had to go back and take the color out in post of the broccoli to make it cauliflower on the table.
Oh, wow.
Because people didn't eat broccoli like that back then.
That was expensive to do that. That's not cheap to eat.
So, take a look at the list.
Yeah, exactly.
They
window shaded, they put it in Picasso.
Wow. Exactly. So, take a look at the list. I tweeted it, or if you want to find it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stickler. Way to go.
That's why it's so fantastic.
It is. It's so interesting. Yeah, so we got tears. People talked about what a cold-hearted
bastard
you were last week.
Oh, because
they didn't get you.
Because I didn't cry.
Yeah, because you didn't cry. Yeah. Did you cry at all this week?
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like I cried all of them and stuff. But there are many that get to me. And others, I'm affected. I'm just not crying.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know, I don't like them.
It doesn't mean you're not moved.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that. It's just that they don't bring me to tears.
Right.
So, and I'm a sociopath, so.
Yeah, well, that's true. I don't remember if we talked about this on the air, but we kind of talked about how, like, last episode, I think you said this, that I thought it was sad. Or yes. The episode before, I thought it was sad with the kids being taken out of the house. With the mom. I thought it was sad, but I didn't feel it was sad necessarily. So that's, that's kind of the level. And actually, do you have a sense, John, of the difference? I mean, is it a writing thing? Is it an acting thing? Is it a directing thing?
Why are we not getting gut punched?
Well, for me, sometimes for instance, like this, to me, the ones that are most effective is when you're not telling me anything, you're not talking, like in the looks, we talked about the relief on her face or the look of sadness on Phyllis's face and uncertainty and about what's happening, mm-hmm. what's going to happen, those kinds of things. They played the moments more in prior series, in my estimation. I may be in the minority on that, but that's what I think. This one, they're telling a little bit more than they usually do.
Okay.
And I think when you tell, it doesn't bring the audience in as much, and you don't feel as much because you're being told rather than being participatory and feeling it. That's my feeling. That's what I think.
It's directing.
No, I think it's writing. For me, it's writing. But I'm sure other people are just as affected as this season as they are others, but it's just what it is for me.
And how, right, of course, because we all receive information.
Exactly. So I just prefer when they do it the other way because I find it much more engaging when they're bringing me in rather than telling me what's happening. Because we had a scene, for instance, there's a scene with Lucy and Dr. Turner. And we already know what the scene's going to be is, hey, I need your help with this woman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they go on and they're telling you a lot of exposition.
Right.
And you just don't need all the exposition. You know what's going to happen. You know what they need to say. And rather than talk character or be character and behave in a certain way, they're telling me all kinds of information that we don't need. And I think that's when it becomes less about the visceral experience than the intellectual experience.
Got it.
That's just the thought.
I gotta go back and look at some old seasons again.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because I need to see them against each other.
Right.
Because usually I like watch and then I'm gone for a year.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And now it's like 5 years removed at this point.
So right.
I'm interested in that. So, okay.
That's my thought. Anyway, so last thoughts, anything else you want to talk about?
Do not hurt Phyllis.
Yeah, do not. She's in the Reggie category.
Yes, you can't mess with Phyllis. She's in the Reggie category.
Isn't it funny because
she's
Phyllis,
like a mama hen.
Exactly, in the beginning, she was a little bristly when we first met her.
Right, she was adding, cards to things. Remember, she was putting like a
organizing
system in.
Yes, because she likes her resume.
And she runs a tight
ship. She runs a tight ship. But that, they always bring you, because they do that all the time. They bring you on. And then they start peeling away the character and you start learning more about them
and then
you love them and
you can't
handle it because they're just amazing. And now you don't want anything to happen. Are you okay if something happens to Barbara? Courtney?
I'm not Courtney as emotionally kind of attached to her. Yeah. Like I'm just not. Yeah. When she came back I was kind of like, I wasn't
that's
that
nice.
Excited.
So I like Barbara.
I like her.
I like her as a character. I think it's great. I when they give her something to do, it's fun. But Phyllis is always, she's just hitting them. She's hitting triples and home runs every time.
I need her to be
exactly. Okay. And in the fact that she can be so bristly and brusque sometimes and yet solid, it's great. All right. Yeah. So we got to get out of here. We're running late. So
At Tamara Berg on Twitter.
Everywhere at Stuart Starlet.
Nowhere except the dark web.
soulless web.
That's right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, everybody. See you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Cup of tea.
Herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.